Hello again. It's a great pleasure to welcome Alfonso, who's the creator of Fable. And we planned to have a sort of short half an hour chat about lots of different things, Fable community and so on. If you want to join, send us a message on Twitter or Slack. We also have a, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can ask questions there as well. So Alfonso, my usual first question is where are we calling you to? And what
I'm in Madrid now, in my hometown. So
cool.
And I'm enjoying a very nice weather here.
Well.
I hope you're doing the same there.
Yes, well, it's nice and raining in Seattle as always. So
okay.
I guess, I don't know, I'm not local. Does that count as nice weather? Probably. right, so let's get started. I think the first thing I really wanted to talk to you was about Fable and the history of mm-hmm. Fable, because I've been sort of lucky enough that I knew and I was watching Fable from the early days. But uh-huh. what is Fable and how did you get started on this project?
Okay, so first of all, I have to say that the Fable is nothing very original, because there were already many attempts to translate F# to JavaScript. There's also WebSharper now. There was a fun script. There was also something called Pete. Maybe you know about that. And yeah, so it was I think it was around 4 years ago when I came back from to Spain after living abroad, and it was a lot of things starting for me. I started working as a freelance programmer. I was my background is in linguistics, but I spent the 2 years before programming mainly C# Windows applications, and then I started working as a freelancer, I got more interested in other paradigms. I started with functional programming, and I learned F#, and I also started at the same time web programming, JavaScript. So for me, it was I tried to find a way to mix these two things that I was very interested about, and that was the reason I searched for something, and I found FuneScript. It was a very interesting project, so it was also my get to start getting involved with the community, getting to know all the fantastic people in the F# community. Also, Don Syme, I was in London, and I was giving some talks about FuneScript, even if I was a total beginner and my first steps were really terrible. But it was a lot of fun, the funniest thing in FuneScript is the name, and I wanted to keep it like that. But unfortunately, the project was kind of abandoned, and I also started writing the JavaScript, and I was using this transpiler called Babel that was is very popular in the JavaScript community to translate modern JavaScript to old JavaScript that is compatible with modern browsers. So then around that time, Don Syme talked me about these new F# compiler services that allowed you to use the F# compiler itself, not unlike FuneScript, because FuneScript was using code quotations. So it was a bit more complicated because you had to compile before the whole F# code to .NET and then read the reflection metadata and then transpile it to JavaScript. So it was a more lengthy and complicated process. So I saw there as an opportunity, and I created a quick prototype to take the AST, the abstract syntax trees, provided by the F# compiler services, and pass it to Babel. And Babel could do this JavaScript transpilation for me. And it was really nice. It worked very well. I programmed mainly in F#, also with a bit of TypeScript and JavaScript. But the F# type system, and especially the union types, were made the work of working with this kind of expression and abstract syntax trees really a pleasure. And the most important thing is that the project got a very warm welcome by the community, and very quickly there were many contributors who started working on the project, and also. Some people they started to make a project, even if at the beginning it was like a really baggy and not didn't have many features. There was a crazy guy that created something called the Gamma, and it was
I think I know who you're talking about here.
Really? No, I forgot the name. I know it was a very cool project, but I recommend that.
Yeah, we can chat about some of the community projects and the contributors later on. And
yeah, okay.
I like the fact that you start doing fserv by writing your own fserv compiler. That's the way.
No.
To do it.
yeah, for sure. Because everybody knows that ML is for writing compilers.
Yeah. That's right. No, my first fserv project when I started was trying to write a fserv to JavaScript compiler. So it is somewhere online. You can get it, but it doesn't work. It was running only on fserv 1.9.6.13.
Okay.
Cool. So do you have some demos we could see? I can switch
yeah,
to the
sure.
screen and let's
okay.
have a look at some demos.
Uh-huh.
And I'll turn off
so,
my
okay.
camera so that it's not taking space here.
Okay.
All right. So we can now see your screen.
No. Sorry. Okay.
You can see your
sorry.
Screen.
Yeah. Can you see it now?
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. All good.
So the first thing, if anybody is interested in Fable, I recommend you to go to Fable's website. Where it's not very big, but we have some information here. So we have some welcome screen, and you can see some of the things, some of the companies and projects that are using Fable at the moment. It is the gamma I just talked about. So if you're interested, you can check. And Ionite, for example, the very famous plugin for fsharp, coding fsharp in Visual Studio Code, is also using Fable, which was using a Fun Script originally and then Fable. And here you can check the documentation. I think that this is important because the documentation is very short. So you just have the getting started guide here, and then you just have to a couple of documents. So it's I wanted to keep it short so people read it, and I know this I don't read much documentation myself. Everybody loves doing things coding examples, but I think it's important because there are many questions that people ask me, and they are replied here. So it's as you can see, it's a very short document. So I recommend if you're starting with Fable, so you need to know what is compatible from .NET and F# Core, and also how to interact with JavaScript when needed. So it's good to have a look at these documents, and then it's much better if you are stuck in somewhere, you can just quickly move on. But then we are talking about the samples. You can go to the samples here. We have this page. Some of them were stolen also from FunScript. Some of them are new. These are some games from Phil Treffel. They're really nice and very interesting. I particularly love this one, which is simple but really, really addictive. And if you see that I stop talking, it's because I cannot stop playing this game, which happens to me very often. So, yeah, the best thing is that we check. I was trying to, let's minimize it a bit. So the best thing is to open the browser developer tools. In this case, I'm using Chrome. So as you can see here, we can see the sources, and we have the JavaScript code. Our motto is that we have a very readable JavaScript. This is not the case because this is minimized, I'm sorry. But we'll see the repo right now where you can see more readable JavaScript. But the important thing here is that we have Webpack, and thanks to Babel and Webpack and these JavaScript development tools, we can see the fsharp code. And this is linked to JavaScript code thanks to source maps. Source maps, in this case, they are not perfect, but they are good enough to just write some, establish some breakpoints. So as you can see here, I can establish the breakpoint. I can see the call stack. I can see the scope. I can see the my types here, the canvas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Breakpoint that actually breaks in the fserv code.
Yes, that's right. And even sometimes, not always, but sometimes even the just hovering over the variables works. So as you can see here, you can see the information about this type, this value. You can see it provided by the browser debugger.
And this works because Fable generally tries to keep the JavaScript that's generated kind of nice and simple. So
partly because of that, but also it's mainly thanks to Babel, because Babel it makes it really easy to create the source maps and link them to the source code, the original code. So this is actually one of the main reasons when I wrote Fable for the first time. It was important to have Babel because we had many targets of JavaScript at that time. You had different model systems and different browsers. Now it's more like it has kind of stabilized, but still Babel is very important because of the source maps. So this is one of the things that I couldn't do myself without the Babel. So this is why I'm very happy that I didn't try to reinvent the wheel and I was trying to use these JavaScript development tools from the very beginning. So I can actually show you, maybe in this game, there is another one, which is Fable Mario here, Super Fable Mario. You have also some, I'll show you later that we have a recommendation, which you can see here, which is Fable Elements to create productive apps. But you can see also that it's very easy to mix Fable with other JavaScript libraries like React and Vue. And if you're interested, you can check this. You can check also visualizations like how to interact with D3, for example, a very popular JavaScript library to create graphics. We have this one.
There's lots of things.
Yes. Main guidelines I had in mind when creating Fable is that I wanted. It was nothing new because I took it from FunScript because FunScript it was very easy to interact with JavaScript, and also I took some inspiration from TypeScript as well because I wanted to have this. I really like JavaScript and the ecosystem and the tooling that is available. So I wanted to port F# to the JavaScript ecosystem or platform, if you want to call it like that. And I wanted to make like a first-class citizen of this ecosystem. So I wanted to integrate with all the tools. And that's the reason that it's possible. Because if you have to create everything by yourself, it's really difficult. We have here a very complicated terrain using 3.js, which is a WebGL JavaScript library. So this is very important that you can just use, or like in this case, in this Mandrible fractal, just using the canvas, so the API, the native API from the browser.
All right. So we've been chatting a bit about the contributors as well, and there was one contribution I remember, which was really crazy amazing. Uh-huh. And I see you already have a demo of this right here. So what was this? And what did this mysterious Ncave person do?
Yeah, this was really funny because when Fable started to get track in the community and there were some suggestions to compile the F# compiler to JavaScript using Fable. And I was like, no, this is not possible. Fable is still very limited. No, it's maybe in 3 years, something like that.
So just
and then 1 week later, this mysterious Ncave.
That is really hard to understand if you haven't been doing this before. So the idea is the F# compiler is written in F# and it compiles in F# to .NET. But if Fable could compile F# compiler to JavaScript, then that means you could actually run the whole F# compiler in the browser, right?
That's true. That's exactly the point of compiling the F# compiler to JavaScript. So we have all the repos of F#, but usually they just send the code to a server, they compile the code in the server, and then send your result back. In this case, this is running entirely. Actually, this is just a GitHub page, static pages. So we don't have any server at all. It's literally serverless in this case. And this is happening everything in the client browser. So we have, as I told you, this I didn't think this was possible. And then the mysterious Ncave, whom I want to thank you for all his or her contributions from here. But then I come and appear, and it was like, no, it's a Radon. I compiled not the whole F# compiler, but the big part of F# compiler to JavaScript using Fable. And now we have the REPL here, and you have some samples. Also, we have to thank Maxime Mangel, another one of the core maintainers and greatest contributors in the F# Fable community, and F# community as well, of course. He was adding this very nice UI and integrating the Fable REPL with Monaco, which is basically Visual Studio Code in the browser. So most of the themes and shortcuts that you can use, even for example, like multi-cursors, you can use them in the browser as well. And you have some examples here. We have the basic canvas. You have the fun and games that we just saw. So you just have to compile. And then I have to say that this is going to run a bit slow because I'm streaming a high resolution video and my machine is not very powerful. But in your if you try it at home, it should be more or less fast. So. As you can see here, this happening. You can see the code. So as you can see, the code is quite readable and nice. And even you have some auto-completion here. So now when I press dot, you should see everything that is available in the browser API. And also, error highlighting on the fly. So again, if I make a spelling mistake, because that's that's the whole point of using a statically typed language, because we are all afraid of spelling mistakes. So you can see the error here. And if I change, let's see, for example, the atmosphere height. If I want to change here, I recompile again, and then it's compiling. Again, it's a bit slower right now because of streaming the video. And when this is finished, if it's finished someday, oops. No, it seems I broke it. Okay, for some reason, it seems I broke it, so.
Maybe the high quality video streaming made the compiler too slow. But people can go to fable.io/REPL and play with it there, right?
Yes, sure. Please try it so you can see that I'm not lying. I think maybe I ran out of memory because Chrome is very memory hunger. And you just have to go to fable.io. And then click a REPL, and you should see it by yourself. So please give it a try, because you don't have to install anything. It's just everything running in your browser. It's not a plugin. It's not a Silverlight. It's not nothing. So just click there and start programming. So I was talking about the fable.io, where you have the documentation, you have samples. But there is also a very important page here, which is Fable Awesome. Awesome Fable, actually. And here there are also many other contributions from other people in the community. So this is a very important source if you want to learn about Fable. You have more samples. You have tutorials here, posts. You have videos and podcasts. This is very nice. This what F#, the first podcast. It's, if you like listening, two things. This one is a very nice summary of the current status of the Fable ecosystem. And you have also the main libraries that are being used in the Fable ecosystem. And some of the tools, like the loader and the for Webpack, which is the most used, but also Rollup. Also, you have TS2 Fable, which is a tool which is used to translate to F#. TypeScript declaration files, so you can use JavaScript libraries in a type-safe way from Fable. And this is how we are using, for example, this browser API just so. And some of the templates that are available now. So if you know the new .NET SDK that you have these templates available, so this makes it really easy to start any failed project.
Sounds
good. And some
good.
Of the samples. But,
so go to Awesome Fable if you want to learn more and find other references. I think we've got around 4 minutes, and I've accumulated a couple of questions. One is something that I actually wanted to ask myself as well. The question is, I've heard you're working on Fable 2. Is there some sort of roadmap, and what should we expect in the next version? And I would add, what can people do to help and how to contribute?
Yeah, you can go to issues in the Fable repository, and then you can see, you can click this this level, which is Dev 2.0. It's most of the work is happening in the, this Dev 2.0 branch. So there are many things. I started, it was mainly about this. It was about creating lightweight types, because one of the things that we are having right now in Fable 1.0 is that we are outputting a lot of information, which is good because you can have a very nice JSON deserialization, you can have for reflection. But this makes, when you have a big application, this creates a big bundle size. So we want to, in Fable 2, we are trying to reduce that. But we also are taking the opportunity to refactor many things and some of the things to see what the things work, what things didn't work so well, and this is what we are doing. I'm really happy on about the development, because the community is very involved with it, and you can check here. We have this issue, for example, for helping with the development. Unfortunately, I cannot show them very well. I want to have a repo with Fable 2 soon, so you can compare the outputs of Fable 1 and Fable 2. I don't have it yet, but just to tell you that the development is going on, and we are not stop, and we are trying to improve every day. So this is also important to know.
Everything is happening on GitHub. Go to Fable compiler / Fable and find the dev 2.0 comments, and you can contribute there.
Absolutely.
I've got another important question. It's sort of follow up to all the conferences that we were chatting about earlier with Don. There's also FableConf. And the question is, do we know when and where is the next one going to be?
Yeah, that's the big question. We are working on that. Unfortunately, it's last year was very nice, because we had this this guy François Niquet, who did a fantastic job and prepared all the things very quickly, and we had a very a lot of fun in Bordeaux last year. This year we want to make it in Berlin, so maybe it's an easy spot for to reach from other people, and we also want to make it together with a safe stack, and which is big in Germany. Maybe we can say this if people that don't know, it's a stack that we are promoting as a F# full stack, where we are using F# on the back end and the front end, and we are using Almis. I just because we are running out of time, we cannot talk very much. But you can just go to
Slack. We will have
a
talk about Slack later on in the conference, so people will stay with us, and safe talk is coming.
That's great. If I also recommend if people are not tired of watching talks, this from the last F# exchange. This talk by Thomas is the other Thomas. Is incredible, because he has impressive live coding skills, and he's showing how using F# full stack and how the auto-completion, sharing the types, and the intelligence, and all the tools contributed by community can really help you in your development. And he's making just an entire web app in just 45 minutes. And one of the, as I just said, one of the biggest contributors is Maxime. Who created he's also, he didn't create itself, the Fable Elmis, but he's a maintainer, but he created Fulma, which is a project I really love. And check this Fulma, you can check his his video or his slides, which are here. F-Sharp Exchange 2018 Olmish. And this is also a very good example with links and a nice explanation of the Olmish architecture and the tools that are currently available.
All right.
And I think if you want to know more things, you can follow us on Twitter.
I think we'll probably have to wrap up. There was one more question. So if you can manage sort of 10-second answer to the question
I'll try.
Well, can you use Fable with the non.NET web applications like those in Python?
Yeah, absolutely. We are promoting the safe stack, but Fable is not tied to any backend technology. So you could you can use Fable on the front end and Python on the back end. Yeah, absolutely.
So just use Fable, let it to generate your nice bundled JavaScript file and embed it in your Python stack.
Yes, yes. I don't know well about the Python stack. I don't know how they do things, but yeah, you can just generate JavaScript, and anywhere where JavaScript runs, Fable should also run as well. So we are focusing on SPA applications, but there's been Fable React Native applications as well. So creating mobile applications, compiling F-Sharp to JavaScript with Fable. So this is also possible.
Perfect. So you can run F-Sharp through Fable on everything where JavaScript runs, which these days probably includes my shoes.
All right. I hope so. I didn't try yet, but it should be possible.
Cool. So thanks very much, Alfonso, for joining us and for the chat. It was super nice to have you here, and we'll see more about SafeStack in a later talk. Thank you again. And
thanks to you. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks a lot for the people watching.
Stay with us. We will be calling Jim in a few seconds to talk about Xamarin and F-Sharp, and actually Elmish-inspired stuff as well.
Yes.